This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA. This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was that?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero.
Tom, you don't put dirty drawers and mail them to yourself?
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Not a gift. It was Tom Pelissero. I underlined my name.
That's all he needs to put.
And then I wrote all over it. Laundry.
Today's guests. Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer Vincent Goodwill. TBS MLS analyst Jeff Francoeur. Plus latest news and more. And now, sitting in for Rich. It's Tom Pelissero.
It is a Rich Eisenless edition once again of the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero, happy to be here with you. Happy, frankly, TJ Jefferson, that I was allowed back since now that drop in the open of the show right there. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be hard to come back from. Mailing dirty drawers, as you put it, to yourself.
I'm just saying, I've been around this world, Tom. I've been fortunate and blessed. I've seen a lot of things. I've heard of a lot of stuff. And my imagination is pretty vivid. But I ain't never, ever heard nothing like somebody mailing dirty underwears back to themselves through U.S. Postal Service. That's just crazy.
How many people do you know that have to hit 14 teams or 12 teams in 12 days? Have to start a training camp.
I mean, now that's also a good point, baby. I don't know a whole lot of cats like you out there in these streets.
So. You learn to scrap. You learn to do whatever it takes.
I'm just saying, don't be a snob. Sometimes you do got to wash some socks and underwear in your hotels.
No, let them dry.
That's all I'm saying.
What did I miss?
Don't knock the hustle.
Yeah, Jason Fellers and Del Tufo see.
I was hearing about this.
Del Tufo laughing hysterically at this entire thing is not the reason he's not here today. He's doing some USA basketball. We'll have Vince Goodwill on the show to talk about Team USA in a little bit here. Jeff Francoeur is going to join us to talk some baseball. Frankly, there's no Brockman either. This is not him forgetting his luggage for a second straight day. We did confirm. He just texted and confirmed. He did make it to Pittsburgh. So he is not one of the hundreds of thousands of travelers that are currently stranded because somebody at a company messed up one line of code in a software update.
Is that what happened?
I watched, much to my detriment, an interview with the head of the company that supplies this security software to companies all over the world. It was not a heartening interview. At one point, he lost his voice and, had to take a sip of water. And the host said, we know it's been a long night. Yeah. When you take out the whole world.
I mean, how is this possible?
I often think about this. If I mess up in my job, right, most of the consequences just boomerang on me. I say something horribly offensive, I get canceled. I tweet something and I got the wrong team, which has happened before.
Yeah, you just got to stay off Twitter.
Famously just typed, not even like a bad source info, but just like when one time, I may have told this story on the show before, but when Kiko Alonso got traded from the Dolphins to the Saints, and they had made a trade a couple of days before the Dolphins had with the Texans sending Laramie Tunsil. That was a really big deal, right?
Yeah.
So I find out early in the morning, I just woke up, Kiko Alonso's been traded to the Saints. Somewhere in my brain, something broke. And based on the trade that had just happened, I typed, trade, The Dolphins are sending Kiko Alonso to the Texans. The moment I see the tweet hit, I go, oh, no. And immediately delete it. Like, the moment I hit send, I'm like, no. I copy it quick, delete it, paste it in again, hit tweet again, but I cut off the T at the start of the tweet. So now it just says, raid! The Dolphins are trading Kiko Alonso to the Saints. So I got to delete it again. Third time's the charm, and every response was, who's the Texans or Saints, you know, and the screen grabs. Third time's the charm. Oh,
well, people just wait for you to make right. those errors, right?
But that's the worst of it for me, right? I look like a jackass for a few minutes, and then everybody moves on with their lives.
Yeah, I mean, I say something stupid. I just can't go to YouTube for a couple hours.
You don't want to read your mentions on Instagram,
and
right?
And, you know, like you said, a few hours later, it's fine.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
This guy messes up, or woman, or whoever it was. This person messes up a line of code. Other people apparently don't see it either. It then reacts with every PC, every Microsoft-based operating system that interacts with this and has this software across the world.
The world.
It's like, who did I impact? Accidentally, you know, said this guy was doubtful to play and he played. You know, did a couple, there's some angry, I'll get a few things, angry gamblers.
My fantasy team, bro.
Things like that. Yeah, yeah. Actors and actors, by the way, are one of the worst parts of the job. Because, like, things can happen, circumstances change, you try to lean one way or the other.
You messed up my parlay, Tom.
This person messes up a line of code and it impacts the world.
Everybody.
The whole world. Economy is at a standstill because you put a 3 in place of a 2 or whatever it was. I don't know anything about coding, but it seems like that's a pretty high leverage type of a situation, right? That's a pretty massive screw up. And if you're the company that did it, I don't know that I want my CEO on no sleep and losing his voice to come on live TV and explain it. Maybe just lay low. I don't want you out here. I don't want you on the Today Show.
I want you back there.
I want you back there figuring out what went on.
Because now, Tom, they're saying it could take a while.
Yeah. I got like a 6:20 flight back.
Some time for this to be resolved.
I got a message from Delta. Well, I'm fine saying the airlines. This is not their fault. But it said, I finally, you know, the apps are down. Everything's down. I just got a note saying Delta has resumed some departures following an earlier vendor technology issue. That's a kind way of saying these idiots. It's not us. It's not the airline.
For once, it's not us.
A vendor. It was a vendor. Yeah.
An outside third party did this.
Who took down everybody. So
I think this is what people had feared was going to happen when Y2K hit. If you can remember that. Everyone was just oh man, once midnight hit something,
so
the thing's going to hit the fan, and fortunately nothing happened.
But. So here's a story. So that was my freshman year of college.
You just leaned in like, let me show you something.
Let me tell you something, guys.
Let me tell you a story.
Y2K, right? That was the end of 1999, 2000. It was based on software that had all been written with 19 as the first two digits in the year. It was written, you know, in the 70s and 80s, and no one ever contemplated, hey, it is eventually going to be a new century. So there were mass fears that banking systems were going to crash. You had to update all this Y2K software. I was part of the foundation of the movie Office Space as well. Mm-hmm. That was the extent of the job.
Hey,
so,
Peter, man.
So I'm at someone's house, a high school acquaintance's house. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Bill Day. That's his name. I'm at Bill Day's house, and everybody's, you know, a bunch of people from my high school graduating class. Everyone's back for the holidays. It's New Year's Eve. So I get the brilliant idea. I'm going to figure out where in Bill Day's house his fuse box is. And at midnight, I'm shutting off the fuses. I'm shutting off the power,
to
the entire house. So I find it. Go into the closet. I'm hearing the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. We get to 2, 1, and I zap that thing across, and everybody starts screaming. The whole basement is filled with people flipping out. Oh, no, it happened. It's out. So it took like a couple of minutes.
That's pretty amazing.
It took a couple of minutes for people to go look outside through the windows and go, hey, everybody else's power's still on. Like, what actually happened? So, of course, in my brilliant scheming here, as soon as I turn it off, I go back into the room with the party. Mm-hmm. Like, so hey, when the lights come back on, I'm in there going, what happened? And, oh, man, that was crazy, wasn't it? I never told anybody. Well, I didn't tell Bill. I told other people I did it, but I didn't see Bill again for several years. Senior year of college, this is 3 years later, you know, very ready. We didn't go to college together. I think he went to college somewhere in Maine or something. I went to Boston College. I walk out the back door of my modular apartment on the campus of BC, and who's standing there? It's Bill Day. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm friends with the guy next door. And I'm like, wow, yeah, good to see you, man. How long has it been? He's like, yeah, it's been since you pulled the power at my house. I'm like, oh, yeah, we never did talk about that. Who told you? Who let you in on that secret?
That's a really good joke, man.
You can't pull that one all the time. And now here we are, and all the software that has been designed to prevent, you know, the type of hack that might disrupt the world.
The world.
And now the software, ironically, I think this is correct use of ironically here, too.
Don't you think?
Ironically, the software designed to prevent all the computers in the world from going down has caused all of the world's computers to go down.
That's just great.
Like, do you think Tiger Woods, after getting cut from the British Open, does he... He can get a flight back, right? He's flying private, or do the plane computers go out too?
I think Hoskins told me this morning, yeah, even if the airlines got shut down, it doesn't matter. You can't get up in the air, right? So I don't know the extent of this right now, but this is crazy, bro.
Well, what I do know is we're on the air. There's TV stations and various people all over the world.
And football's still coming.
Who are not able to be on TV today. You know, anchors sitting there and the control rooms are out. I've seen all those tweets, but we're here. We're here on Roku. Roku's never going to let you down.
No, come on.
I think they must be Apple-based. I think they're on their own program.
Come on, bro. You think Roku Joe would let something like a... No, man.
No,
Roku Joe ain't going to let us.
We got this handled.
Out. Come on.
We're live on Roku. There is football, as you said.
As long as that didn't mess up any teams arriving to camp or anything, then
well,
we're going to be...
So, I forgive me if I'm messing up his name, but Kyle Okposo, I believe, is his name.
Okay.
You know, every player on the Stanley Cup winning team, they get their day with the cup.
Yeah, man.
So Michael Russo, who's a fabulous NHL writer, longtime Wild beat writer, tweeted this a short time ago. Major announcement, especially if you're driving from a long distance for Kyle Okposo's public Stanley Cup appearance today at Pagel Arena. It has to be canceled due to the Stanley Cup being stuck in St. Louis because of the global IT outage affecting airlines. I'm crushed, a very disappointed Okposo said. They're currently trying to figure out how to get the cup here so he can still have some semblance of his day with the cup. It's everybody.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Everybody. Now, you know, the cup, I'm sure, has a pretty tight schedule. You know, we've had the cup here in studio, so we know. It has a tough schedule. So now Kyle, who knows when his day? He got bumped, bro. He's not going to get that cup maybe for another 30 days or so.
I'm told it's Okposo, by the way.
Okay.
Silent K. Which I'm not familiar with a lot of silent K's. Okposo.
Okay.
All right. Sorry for butchering the name.
Well,
the point
it
stands.
Clean right now. That way you can get it. You know.
The depth of the hockey talk I was anticipating on July 19th in studio we've already exceeded that. But football's still going. The Bears, the second team to officially report as a full squad today. The Texans already full squad reported. The Ravens and Chiefs report tomorrow. Because that will be the exact number of days. It'll be 47 days from the season opener in September. We're that close to real football. I'll be hitting the road 1 week from today,
okay.
Assuming
maybe
the world's computers are back and my extremely complicated sequence of flights is not disrupted. I like my chances with a week for them to figure out the McAfee system or whatever they get. I know it's not that antivirus software. It's about something much more global.
Yeah.
I like my chances that within a week. So I figured, what a way to kick things off today, besides telling a story about Y2K that I wasn't planning on, by getting into a top five training camp storylines.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tom's.
Top five.
Sensational editing there by Jason.
Oh, I'm proud of that.
Earning his paycheck. Let's play it one more time just because it's that good, Jason. Let's hit it one more time.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tom's.
Top five.
I recorded it once. Hoskins was like, do it with a little fiercer. And that's where we landed.
I thought that was the old Tufo.
So let's redid it.
Okay.
Let's take out, you know, the holdouts and the contract matters and things like that. Because a lot of that's going to play out in the coming days here. Most NFL teams report next Tuesday. The teams that play Monday Night Football, they report in week one. They report on Wednesday to training camp. But so a lot of those things we'll know, is the guy holding out or not? Did they get a contract down? Whatever. I want to talk top five things on the field. What are we going to see on the field in training camp?
Okay.
I'll start out at number five. I'm going to say it's the new kickoff rule. We talked some about this yesterday. It is an extraordinarily complicated rule.
Yep.
It is something that everybody's going to be experimenting with. You're not going to see, I wouldn't think, the best that special teams coordinators have to offer in terms of schemes, trick plays, reverses, any of that stuff. What you are going to see through the course of training camp is who's on that kick return and kick coverage team. In other words, is it your standard issue, the DBs and the six-string receivers who are out there? Or are you seeing maybe some starters integrated? Are you seeing bigger bodies because you have a lot less space and speed in the play? Are you going to have different body types? Are you going to have your kicker kicking off? Are they going to experiment with other people than the kicker? I believe, based on the conversations I've had, including with people familiar with the competition committees, thinking that it's not going to be every team's using somebody else. Not everybody has Justin Reed as a backup kickoff guy who could really probably do it if he focused on that full time. A lot of teams are probably going to kick off with their kicker, but what does the play look like? Who is in the play? Mm-hmm. Are people going to repurpose some of their starting players and put them back on kick return? Are we going to see guys we've never seen on kick returns before? I think it's a fascinating storyline. That's going to be fun to watch through the course of camp. Number four, the Bears offense. They're on the field again, starting tomorrow as a full squad. We've talked a lot about Caleb Williams. We've talked a lot about Roma Dunze. They got a lot of guys there. They got a lot of names. You got Keenan Allen, who's a part of that mix. You got DJ Moore, who's a part of that mix. Caleb Williams walks in, DeAndre Swift as well. Caleb Williams walks in, according to just when I've talked to coaches and scouts and executives, he might be walking into the best situation a number one pick has walked into in a long, long time. Because of what they've built on the defensive side, with Matt Eberflus now calling the plays, because of the investment that they've made all around Caleb Williams in terms of the offense, we actually have to see it take place. And as much as, yeah, you get these little reports through OTAs and minicamp, that's still just a few practices here and there. Now it's going to be the day-to-day grind. And you're kidding yourself if you don't think Caleb Williams is going to be under an extreme microscope. Every incompletion, every interception, it's going to be a thing. That media in Chicago does not let those negative things go. They're going to ask a lot of questions about it. Through the preseason, how much do they use him? Do we see him in the Hall of Fame game? I don't think it's impossible. They haven't ruled it out. So there's a lot of different things here that I think are going to be fascinating to see what the Bears offense looks like. Because I can't think of a whole lot of times that a team that won as few games prior to the second half of last year, as the Bears had for several years, enters with this type of expectations. It's not all about one guy, but a lot of it is about one guy.
Absolutely.
Number three storyline, the Falcons quarterbacks. Okay, you got layers to this. You gave $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. 6 weeks later, he's whipping it up, waving the towel, hyping up the crowd at the draft party, and then he gets a call on the way home. We got the guy who's going to eventually replace you. We're taking Michael Penix at number eight. Kirk Cousins already was going to be interesting to see because he's a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. So what does he actually look like? Again, you're not hitting the quarterbacks in training camp, but you're still in a position where you're wondering how mobile is he going to be. He's not a running quarterback by any stretch, but having that ability to move around in the pocket is a big part of Kirk Cousins' game. Now you add on top of it, at every practice, at the, you know, the big scrimmage they've got in the stadium, which I'll be there, part of our inside training camp coverage on Friday, August 2nd, I believe it is, you're going to have not just people looking at Kirk Cousins, who's working with the ones. You got the possibility that Michael Penix is going to go out there and light it up with the twos and raise the type of questions that to this point the Falcons have not had to answer. Because one thing that they like about the situation they've set up, and listen, we've talked at length about how unorthodox drafting a quarterback that close to signing a quarterback to that type of deal, how rarely anything like that happens in the NFL. They haven't had to answer the questions. They're not getting daily questions of when will Michael Penix start, because everyone assumes Kirk Cousins is going to start. But you know as well as I do, the moment Penix plays well and does some fun stuff, and then if a new play caller in Zach Robinson, a new quarterback with Kirk Cousins who's coming off a significant injury, if they don't hit on all cylinders early on, because remember, they're also the number one offense in a lot of cases, probably through the course of training camp, going up against the number one defense. If the defense is winning a lot of those battles with Raheem Morris over there, it just raises some different types of questions. Now, I remember going back to pre-draft, talking to certain people within the league, one coach in particular telling me Penix is going to look terrible in the preseason because he's not mobile, because he does everything from the pocket. He's going to be playing behind a backup offensive line. He's going to be playing with backup receivers. And you're going to have to explain to your owner, this is the guy you drafted. Mm-hmm. He's going to look better when he actually gets into the flow, gets into game settings, playing with better players. But if he does flash, it's going to be an interesting couple of months in Atlanta. Number two, Steelers quarterbacks. I don't think I'm breaking any news there, but it's a real, I don't think you can call it a competition, because I believe that Mike Tomlin, his entire history, the Steelers' entire history, is being patient. It's giving guys time. And I believe he will do that with Russell Wilson. I really don't foresee a scenario. Anything can happen. I really don't foresee a scenario, unless Russell Wilson is just horrible in camp in the preseason, where he's not starting in week one of the season. I believe that Mike Tomlin wants to see Russell Wilson play in real games and see if he can elevate himself to the Russell Wilson that we've seen in the past. And if he can't, then they would make a move. But you also know Justin Fields is a human highlight reel. He doesn't do things necessarily in rhythm. He doesn't necessarily do it within the structure of the play. But when he gets going, when he gets in space, he's one of the most fun guys in the NFL to watch. And Mike Tomlin will do what he does and bat away all the questions, make 15-minute opening statements talking about why this is the direction. Nothing has changed. This is camp. Russell's in the pole position. But let's see what it looks like through the course of camp in Latrobe and through the preseason in terms of exactly how that room might work out.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
And number one, will you apologize for losing? Because then things change when you start losing. Number one, it's all things Aaron Rodgers. We have Aaron Rodgers flew, I believe, relative to last year, certainly. Through the course of this offseason, for most of it, Aaron Rodgers was below the radar. He was not the biggest topic in the NFL. He wasn't in the top 10 because you got so much hype last year and he played four snaps. And I think the people, to a certain degree, got talked out on it. Everyone's like, okay, yeah, let's get to the games this time. We don't need to blow everything up and talk about how great things are going to be for the Jets and how good they're going to be. When Aaron Rodgers didn't show up for minicamp, that put a spotlight back on him. So not just in his statements when he speaks to the media, and he's going to have to answer some questions about his whereabouts, and he'll, I'm sure, just sort of smirk his way through it and explain himself like he usually does. And I don't think that it's really disrupting Aaron in his head. But that just put things in a little bit different context in terms of the focus that's going to be on this Jets offense. If they have a bad day in practice, people are going to bring up, quarterbacks get minicamp. Oh, you know, bad preseason appearance if he plays in the preseason. Well, you know, should have been there for minicamp. Even though it's unfair and he was there for all the voluntary stuff, and if he had missed the week before when it's voluntary and not the mandatory minicamp, we're probably not talking about it as much. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a storyline through the course training camp and getting into the regular season.
Aaron.
We'll talk.
Here, coach.
We'll talk plenty of NFL throughout the course of the show, but let's take a quick break here. We're going to have Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. He's been tracking Team USA. A lot to dive into with Vince right after this on The Rich Eisen Show.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself. Or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
We're about to play a game with Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo over there.
Okay.
Where I will read out the facts. They will guess whether it's true meta or false meta. And then you will confirm.
Okay, let's do it.
Here we go.
The Rich Eisen Show presents Real Meta.
Our test, that's a three. Bang!
Or fake meta.
I wore number 37 for the Lakers because Michael Jackson's album Thriller was number one on the Billboard charts for 37 consecutive weeks. True meta?
No way.
Fake? No way.
No way.
Is it fake meta?
That is 100% true.
That's true. That's true.
I knew it was 37 album, weeks, man. But I wouldn't guess.
All right, next one. Right before his comeback with the Wizards, I broke two of Michael Jordan's ribs in a pickup game and delayed his comeback by 3 months. I was so upset about it, I didn't leave my house for days. True meta or fake meta?
I think that's true.
I'm saying true.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I love Michael Jordan. Probably my favorite player.
You broke his ribs?
It was on accident. It was a summertime pickup game, and it was an intense game.
In 2010, an art show honoring me was held in Toronto, Canada, entitled Lovable Badass.
False.
True. That's true.
Yeah, we have a tie! All right, last one. Last one. In 2010, I was cited for driving a race car with an expired registration down a city street. True meta or fake meta?
Based on his reaction, I'm going to say true.
I got to go true, too.
That's true.
That's true. It was an Indy 500 car. It was fun.
How did you fit in that thing?
I didn't really fit. I was real like this and hitting the gas with my one little pinky toe.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tom Pelissero in once again today for Rich Eisen. We will get back to some NFL talk. The Bears now. Full squad reported to camp. The Texans are out there. The Chiefs and the Ravens get in tomorrow. It's all happening across the NFL. We'll do some NFC South non-negotiables coming up here in just a little bit as well. But let's turn the page for now to Team USA. A lot of focus going to be on that through the course of the upcoming summer games in Paris. Who better to come on and tell us all about it than the senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, host of the Good Word podcast, Vincent Goodwill is with us. Vincent, thanks a lot for being here, man. So far, so good, it seems like, at least in the win column for Team USA. What are your biggest takeaways from what we've seen so far?
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me. I think the biggest takeaways is you can see that the talent disparity between the United States and virtually every other team. I know we haven't seen them play France yet with Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert, but I feel like the talent disparity is as wide as advertised. I think you saw the game against Canada and also against Nikola Jokic play for? Serbia. Why am I drawing a blank on that? That's ridiculous.
He's only the most famous Serbian on the planet. It's okay.
Right.
You got time
to catch up.
Computer
brain.
I got
computer scramble brain right now. You know, like I'm like the airlines. I'm just screwing everything up this afternoon. But I think you're looking at the talent. And you're looking at guys off the bench like Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo who are playing markedly better than Joel Embiid. And you're starting to see sort of the Stephen Curry, LeBron James connections start to happen. Like they're winning off of talent right now. they haven't just begun to develop the continuity. And I think you're going to see a little bit more of that in the final two exhibition games before going off to Paris. Like, there's still a lot more room to grow. But there are some things that concern me. But as far as right now, the talent is just wide.
We always talk about, you know, some of the differences in the international game versus the NBA game. Joel Embiid seems to be a guy maybe in that category where his style of play, what he does in the post and on the outside, it just seems like right now it's an awkward fit. Is that fair?
That's more than fair. I think you can see some of the correlation between how he plays in the playoffs, where his numbers drop precipitously, even, you know, not necessarily this year, but in previous years, it's because he relied so much on the officiating. And you saw there was a play against Nikola Jokic where he had a clear lane to the basket on the catch, and instead of turning over his left shoulder and just dunking, he wanted to throw his body into Jokic and get a foul, and the international refs are not going for that. Like, they allow a lot more physicality on the post, they allow a lot more physicality on the perimeter. And if you're someone who is slow and plodding and you are very deliberate in how you make decisions, he's not a quick twitch sort of guy. He doesn't make quick decisions. You can't give him the ball and have a quick movement either way. Like, he's got to look and evaluate and everything else. And I don't think that is built for Steve Kerr's offense. That's not built for an offense where you're playing next to Stephen Curry and LeBron James and Anthony Edwards and possibly Kevin Durant. Like, you need to be able to move quickly. And when you're seeing in Bam and when you're seeing in Anthony Davis, those two players, A, defensively, those two dudes are monsters. And offensively, they make quick decisions, so they're better fit for international play. Add to the fact that Joel Embiid looks like he is screaming for Elizabeth to come home to him, you know, like every time he is out there. That man is laboring, and I'm just wondering if he's going to get himself in great enough shape to really be a contributor.
Well, we're too late to make roster changes, right? I know that there was an early tweak with Kawhi, which seemed like, you know, oh, they decided mutually that he was going to go back. It was like a fair way to cut a really good dude and a good player off the team. So, you know, at this point, are we talking about the rotations changing? We still got a couple more, I believe, friendlies up here before they open up the actual games on July 28th against Serbia.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. With a guy like Embiid, even though he doesn't necessarily fit in the starting lineup, if you put him on the bench unit, he's even a more awkward fit because that group plays faster with Tyrese Halliburton, who likes getting it up and down the floor, and even, you know, Jason Tatum, who I will assume it will come off the bench when Kevin Durant gets back there. Like, you can only have so many players who play a deliberate style amongst your five, and he's only a fit because those other guys know how to make quicker decisions. I'm talking about Joel Embiid here. But no, I don't think there's going to be any lineup changes or anything. Maybe lineup changes, but it won't be anything as far as somebody getting sent home. Like, he ain't Kawhi Leonard. Like, there's a level of politics that sort of goes with an MVP in his prime deciding not to play for France or anybody else and coming to play for the United States. It would just be bad form. They're just going to have to make do. And hopefully, for the United States' sake, they won't need him to be MVP Embiid.
The officiating is a really interesting point, too, that I hadn't thought a lot about. But if I think back to this past NBA playoffs, I was struck by how so many of the star players seem in the NBA so reliant on officiating, whether it's Luka, who seems to complain after every single play, whether it is Jokic, who is always, you know, doing that kind of flat shrug to the officials after every basket, every single one. And then obviously you've got some of the American players, as you made the point about Embiid. Is that a FIBA standard that they're simply not going to, you know, call it the same way as the NBA? Or why is the officiating so much disparate for in the international game?
Well, if you remember, like, the NBA changes how it's officiated. They've gone through so many changes over the past 20 years because they wanted to increase the scoring. And then they started to increase the scoring even without allowing, like, the handshakes on the perimeter and not even being able to put an arm bar on somebody in the post. And then all of a sudden the league decided we're going to shoot all the threes. So then the scoring exploded then, and you have to start bringing it back a little bit. Whereas with FIBA, there isn't anything they're necessarily trying to sell. Like, they, I guess you could say, a more pure universal brand of basketball, the lane, is wider compared to in the NBA. and or narrower compared to what the NBA is. So that allows teams to plant their bigs underneath the rim. The NBA doesn't want that. They want the clear lanes open so its stars can get downhill for the fantastic dunks and everything else, because they're trying to sell and market the game. FIBA doesn't have that responsibility, so their officiating is going to be a lot more uniform over the course of 20, 30, 40 years, and the talent in the countries will adjust to it because these are the only rules that they know. In the NBA, because it changes so much because of whatever objective is the league is serving at the moment, the players adjust. And I think when you're looking at the players in the NBA, they're used to consistency. You get 82 games of games being officiated a certain way, and then in the playoffs, all of a sudden those touch fouls aren't touch fouls anymore, or you know, you're barreling down the lane and you feel like you're getting clobbered and the officials are saying get up and play. That's where the players get a little bit of a bad rap, because they are used to muscle memory throughout the season, and then the playoffs is a different game. I like playoff basketball. I don't need the touch fouls. I don't need the guys flailing and flopping away. Play ball, check up top. Like, I'm from Detroit. I have scars on my knees and all that stuff. I can't hoop no more, but I'm just saying, if you ask me what type of basketball I prefer to watch, Tom, that is the basketball I prefer to watch. I am a child of the Bad Boys, so no blood, no foul, and even if it is blood, you know, take it up top.
My Instagram algorithm is convinced all I want to see ever are 80s hockey and basketball fights. And the stuff that was allowed to happen in the 70s and 80s, I mean, flat clubbing people, Larry Bird's punching people. I mean, it's craziness. And it was like, it wasn't every single game, but it was a lot. And growing up watching that in the 80s and then seeing the style of play now, it's just amazing how the game has changed. But to the extent that, well, the NFL and other sports like that have also taken out some of the rougher areas of the game. I think that's just a societal trend that we've seen a little bit. With LeBron James, we showed him just a little bit ago playing in that game against Australia. He's 39 years old at this point. From what I've seen, and you've watched a lot more closer, Vincent Goodwill is our guest, than I have, it seems like LeBron is in pretty good form right now. He's played on this stage before. He's played well through these exhibition games. I almost wonder if perhaps you go back to the 2020, the COVID bubble playoffs, where it was much shorter amount of time and he just had to make that push right for a month or so. I almost wonder if this is a similar type of thing where at this stage, an 82 game season and a long playoff run might not play to what LeBron can do. But if you tell him you got to go out and just win these games over the next 3 weeks, you maybe can dig a little bit deeper and get something more from LeBron.
There's a defined finish line. I think you're pointing that. You're looking at this Indian Olympics going to be, what, 17 days or 19 days, right, or whatever it is. And if you're going to play every other day and you're going to be in this environment where iron sharpens iron. You've never played on a team with Stephen Curry before. He's been in the Olympics with Kevin Durant before. He wants to be on this team with Anthony Edwards and some of the new blood. I think it's kind of reinvigorating for a guy like that, where it almost brings the joy back. Like, think about this. LeBron, Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, those teams they're on are miserable. You know what I mean? Like, you're not championship teams in Phoenix and Golden State and the Lakers. So this is not just a vacation. This is almost like an Oprah moment. You're renewing your spirit. You know, your blood is flowing a little bit better. And even though the pressure is on the United States to win a gold medal, and Lord knows what would happen if they don't. Mm-hmm. But isn't the everyday pressure of playing with the Lakers and everything that goes with that and the heaviness that it's going to be, this is going to be somewhat like a freeing atmosphere for all three of those guys, because you can lose love for the game as you get older, as the losses pile up, the frustration, you're further away from real championship contention. Winning a gold medal could mean a lot to not just LeBron, but all three of those guys. And to your point about Larry Bird, a little aside, Larry Bird, so incensed, Dr. J, the greatest gentleman the league has ever seen, that Dr. J had enough of Larry Bird's guff in a game in 1985, I want to say, he outscored Dr. J 42-6, and Dr. J fired on him. He hit him in the face like 3, 4, 5 times in a row. How pissed off do you have to make the biggest gentleman in the game with your trash talking and outscoring him 42-6 that you just get your face clobbered by the biggest gentleman in the game? Don't you miss those days?
Yeah. It's right behind TJ over there.
Yo, Vince, what up, man?
What's up?
You know, I'm a Sixers fan, and so from the first few minutes here, I already got your thoughts on Embiid. So I'm not even going to talk about the Sixers right now. I'm just going to have to calm down from that. But as I think we talked about last time I'm here. I also love the Clippers, man, living here in L.A. for 25 years. And there's a new arena opening, maybe the greatest of all time, the 10th wonder of the world. What kind of product is Ballmer going to put on that court for the first time, man?
Do you have a thing for toxic relationships? You're a Philadelphia 76ers fan.
It seems
and a Los Angeles Clippers fan.
Look, like, man, I can't explain it, Vinny. I don't know.
Yes, you can. No, I used to be a Detroit Football Lions fan. Uh-huh. And then on July 27th, 1999, I quit. You want to know why I quit?
I would love to know.
Barry walked.
When Barry walked, I walked. I'm like, I've had enough of this. I was only 15 years old.
Are you back, Vince? Are you back 25 years later?
It would be so disingenuous of me to come back. And all the fans who endured all the misery for all those years, they want to welcome me back with open arms. I just can't in good faith come back.
So instead, you're spending your Sundays, you go to the grocery store, the mall, you do everything because nobody else is out there from 1 to 4 Eastern time. You got the whole city to yourself.
Tom, you're crazy. I'm watching it just like everybody else is. I'm just not doing it with a rooting interest for the Detroit Football Lions. I quit. I can't get my rushing title back. I wanted that Barry Sanders rushing record. That was my Super Bowl. So when they took that away from me, they took it away from me, Tom. I decided to, yes, it was taken away. It was personal. Took it away from me. Now to your point about the Clippers.
Well, Vince, I'll just slip in there real quick. As a Cowboys fan and as an Emmett fan, they gave that to me. So you didn't get it, but I did get it. So I thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Did you have to say that?
I mean, I had to do something to make myself
feel
good.
Tell them
about
the Clippers suck now, Vince.
Yeah, now we can get into that. See,
you know, okay,
I hurt you because you hurt me a little bit. That's all.
And you are a Cowboys fan, which also means that you've been enduring misery. The more I'm learning about you, the more that I'm seeing that, and you're wearing a black and red NWO shirt. Wasn't those dudes the losers?
No, like, I swear. Bitch, well, that was the Wolfpack.
It's
right?
The roast of TJ Jefferson on the Rich Eisen Show featuring Vince and Goodwill.
And you better hope that Scott Steiner and Kevin Nash don't see this clip, bro, because, you know, don't turn your back on the Wolfpack. You might wind up
that's
in a body
point.
Bag. You know that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But don't. But no, to the Clippers in L.A., I think they made a decision with Paul George. And you got to see the ramifications of the salary cap. And to make another sort of NFL comparison here, you're starting to see teams have quarterbacks in the NBA. The quarterbacks are making $50 million, and you got a bunch of offensive linemen everywhere else. So teams are having to make these financial decisions, even with players like Paul George, who are, you know, still stars, but maybe trending towards the back end of their career. And with the Clippers, they have all the money and they have built this fantastic arena. I went and visited this last year before it was even completely built, and I was astonished at what the sight lines were going to be. I do think for a short period of time, TJ, it's going to be a novelty. It's near the Forum. It's near SoFi. Yeah. People are going to want to see it in Inglewood. But after a while, they're going to go back to being the Clippers, which are the stepchildren to the Lakers. It's just that they'll have their own home, and you have a short window period of time to gain the attention of people in LA because there's so many other entertainment options. I think they got about 2 years before they have to turn this thing back over, because Kawhi Leonard is 34 and James Harden is 35. And although LeBron is playing forever, I don't think them two dudes will be.
I agree with you. And plus, Vince, I'm only 15 minutes from the Forum and SoFi and into it too. So, I mean, at least I don't have that far to go to be disappointed during basketball season, you know.
My apologies. I'm really sorry you're having to endure all this, man. I'm sorry.
If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Ain't that what they say? So I'm like Mark Henry right now, the world's strongest man.
Vince, this has been awesome, man. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate the time.
Hey, Tom, you're going to be in Detroit next week. I would advise like a barber, but your hair is magnificent.
I appreciate that, man.
You need no help there.
It's what I'm most known for.
Yeah, come on.
Vince, thanks a ton, man. That's Vincent Goodwill. Read him at Yahoo. Listen to the Good Word podcast. And I believe he's actually going to go on to Twitter now and continue roasting TJ Jefferson for the next couple hours. So keep an eye on that as well. All right. NFL training camps are kicking off. We've been doing our non-negotiables all week. Division by division. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the NFC South.
Yes, Chef.
Coming up right after this. Jeff Francoeur talking baseball with us shortly as well on the Rich Eisen Show.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
There you are, you're clapping.
Oh, he's sweating. He's sweating. Wait a minute. Brow.
So he made it out of contestants' row?
Yes,
he made it out of contestants' row. I got a new car! Yes! TJ can win a car! Score! This is amazing! All right, Master Key is the game. Master Key is the game.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to take a while. Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I'll take that if you want that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win it. I want this popcorn.
Oh, 41.
$41. It's not a $71. 41. It's 41. That's one key. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. Oh, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
That's right. Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's an $84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to
That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
84. No, it went 58.
No. TJ.
Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. It's an $84 key.
Uh-oh. Master Key. Right.
Does it unlock the...
Does it unlock?
Okay, it does not.
Coffee maker.
No coffee maker. Coffee maker.
Okay, he's going to unlock the electric bike.
Mike.
No. Okay, all right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh, my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go.
Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock
the car?
Does it unlock the car?
He's turning the key. No.
TJ.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero sitting in for Rich once again. We're going to get to our NFC South non-negotiables momentarily here. But first, let's grab a phone call. Terzo in Iowa, our friend. What's up, buddy?
What up, Tommy P? How are you guys today?
Terzo, what up, Kate?
Happy to be here.
Hey, TJ, I always love seeing that tape of you guys jumping up and down for the Price is Right, man. I remember whenever I was watching it at Carl's place, man. That was a fun day.
Bro, that kickstarted our friendship, you know, you calling in and telling me that all of Des Moines, Iowa was rooting for me.
Yes, sir. That was fun. Hey, so you guys had George Kittle on last week, and I've been watching receivers since there hasn't been any sports on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just... Kittle is just a crazy man. So I was hoping Brockman would be there today because I was going to say, what would be more likely if us and myself and you guys mm-hmm. were hanging out with George Kittle? What would be more likely?
Okay.
If Tommy P, your hair does not get messed up all night long,
mm-hmm.
Brockman makes it to the end of the night, or George and I just burn something down.
What do you think, TJ?
Well, I've been watching receivers too, Terzo, and let's see here. I think Brockman would fall asleep. I think Tom's hair would definitely come out of place just a little bit if you're going to party with Kittle. And I can see you and Kittle potentially burning something down. I think all three of those things could really happen, Tom, to be honest with you.
Burning something down.
Just burning it down, bro. Just like, you
not
know.
Just burning something, burning it down.
Burning it down.
Okay.
Just having a good time.
Just checking. I would agree with that. My hair can be mussed, Terzo. It is possible. You know, it's got a pretty good shine right now, you know. After TJ gives me a ride over to NFL Network in his convertible, not as great. We get it, you know what I mean? Like, we put a little more lacquer in there and it's all good.
Terzo, there's nothing like, you know, spying me and Tom Pelissero cruising the streets of Englewood with the top down. I'm telling you.
Dude, I would love it. I'd probably have to do a double take if I was passing you guys on the road. Be like, is that TJ? Tommy? That is.
What else is cracking, bro?
Well, so at this point, I'm so excited to have baseball coming back, but I really got to say, when Vinny comes on the show and talks basketball with you guys, he absolutely crushes it, and I love the basketball knowledge that he has. It just, he pushes the needle, and hearing how much fun this U.S. team is going to be to watch, I'm going to try and stay up at times or wake up early just to watch them.
Great, man. I think it's going to be fun. You know, he, like I said, I'm an Embiid fan, and he really kind of said some stuff there that I have to kind of look at, Tom, and go, yeah, he's hitting the nail on the head with that. So, you know, as harsh as it sounded, he's probably right. It's hard for him to find a good fit, I feel, on that squad. So I'm not sure how they handle the starters and the bench.
It's a unique dynamic. It always is. Terzo, thank you very much. Let's get to the NFC South non-negotiables here, okay? So we've been doing this all week in honor of the Bear and its 150 Emmy nominations in, for some reason, the comedy category. The non-negotiables for every NFL team. We're tackling the NFC South today.
Non-negotiable.
Let's start with the Panthers. I'm going to say the non-negotiable for the Panthers is run the football. A lot of it's going to be about Bryce Young. Everything they do, everything Dave Canales is doing there is all about getting Bryce Young going. The best way to keep the pressure from all being on the shoulders of a second-year quarterback who's coming off an absolute nightmare first season is get Miles Sanders going, and when Brooks is healthy, get him going. Find a way to have a balanced offense, because last year, everything that they were doing in terms of the offensive approach didn't work, and you got to build some confidence early. Don't put it all on his shoulders. For the Falcons, I'm going to say it's start fast. And I know that that's easy. Nobody ever wants to start slow. Everybody would like to start fast. We talked about it earlier. When you are in a situation where you've made an unorthodox move or moves at the quarterback position, if you don't start fast with a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles and a first-time play caller, it just is going to raise the type of questions they don't want to answer. The Falcons have spent the whole offseason telling everybody, we're never going to be bad again. We're going to be good. We're never going to be drafted up high. You better start doing that right out of the gate. And it's the Steelers that you got to take on in week one. For the Bucks, it's Baker keeps going. That's what it is. It's Baker's got to. I understand when he comes in, he's on a one-year deal last year. The pressure's kind of off him at that point. Yeah, his career's on the line. But he sometimes plays his best when you back him into a corner. Now he's paid.
Yeah.
Now he's the guy. That dynamic has shifted. Baker has to keep doing what he did a year ago. And for the Saints, there's a lot of stuff for the Saints. I would say this. Dennis Allen's expertise is on defense. That D has to do its thing. Because Derek Carr, notoriously in new offenses, has struggled historically. You may not get out of the gate fast, even though I think it was a smart move to bring in a guy like Clint Kubiak and run that style of offense. The defense has to do its part. If you're going to stay in a division that is pretty wide open, and a division in which you, that was part of the reason you went 9-8 a year ago, even though that wasn't good enough to get into the playoffs. Jeff Francoeur going to join us at the top of the show. A lot more NFL talk to come throughout the course of the show as well. I'm really interested in that Saints team. Because, you know, for years, obviously, they've kept so many veteran players around. They've had guys like Michael Thomas, who hasn't produced in several years. They finally move on from him. Mm-hmm. He's still a free agent hanging out there. They still got a situation resolved with Alvin Kamara, and it's been brewing for like 4 months now. If they're able to come to an accord and get Kamara in time, he stormed out on the last day of minicamp and left and made a show of it. Yeah. So they've got some of those things going on. You still got the Cam Jordans of the world. You got the Honey Badgers of the world. Are you going to be able to put that thing together? Again, it's a veteran team. They always have one of the most veteran teams. Most guys over age 30. That's a team that's built to win right now, even though I think the narrative around the Saints is more so, you know, is Dennis Allen's job in trouble? They won games last year. I think they probably overachieved in a lot of people's minds. When you got a quarterback like Derek Carr, and you're, again, you've got all these veteran players. You are trying to win immediately here. If they're able to get out to a fast start, I got to look up the early portion of the schedule here for the Saints. You've got home against the Panthers. Then you got to go to Dallas. You got to be home against the Eagles, at Atlanta, at the Chiefs. It's a rough out of the gate start for the Saints. You steal one or two of those games that no one's going to give you a chance in. Maybe you have the type of springboard forward that you need to be able to be a factor as we get into January. Jeff Francoeur coming up shortly here. Longtime MLB outfielder, now in the broadcast booth. What's he look for in the second half of the baseball schedule? We'll ask him.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.